A recent court decision in Alabama ruled that under state law, frozen embryos can be considered extrauterine children. And that has many patients worried about the future of in vitro fertilization. To help us understand what it's like to undergo IVF, we're joined by Belle Boggs. She underwent 5 years of fertility treatments in North Carolina, including IVF, that eventually resulted in the births of 2 healthy daughters who are now 5 and 10 years old. She wrote a book about her experience called The Art of Waiting on Fertility, Medicine, and Motherhood. Belle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Celeste.
We also have Belle's doctor with us to talk more about the science of IVF, Dr. Stephen Young, an infertility specialist at Duke Fertility Center. Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Belle, you're not just personally familiar with IVF. I understand you also have friends and family going through it now. I wonder what you think is one thing that's misunderstood about this medical procedure, as many at this point are perhaps trying to think about the larger impacts.
I think probably most of your listeners, whether they know it or not, have a friend or family member or colleague who is going through IVF or considering IVF or saving up for IVF. IVF is emotionally and physically grueling. It's expensive. It does contain some inherent risk, but it's just such an important medical treatment. I think that's what so many people don't understand about it. It is a medical treatment for infertility, a medical treatment that is unfortunately not mandated to be covered by most insurance plans. I wish we were having a conversation about why IVF should be covered by insurance.
One thing that has come up, especially since this court decision in Alabama, is what happens if someone who is going through IVF decides to freeze their embryos. Now, you did this, although you ended up donating your remaining frozen embryos that you didn't use to someone else who needed them. What do you think people should know about that process?
Well, we were very lucky that our first round of IVF produced 7 embryos, and then we were able to freeze those embryos for a number of years. And so I'm very grateful, but I don't believe that if we were in a state that had a law like Alabama's recent law, that my husband and I, we would not have chosen to try IVF. We would not have been able to. We would not have been able to afford it.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Young, there are concerns, not just Belle's, but lots of patients have expressed concerns about embryo viability and how this ruling in Alabama could impact testing for that. Can you explain why testing genetically embryos before they're transferred into someone's body, why that's important to the health of the mother?
Well, maybe to give some background. Even during a natural conception in a younger woman, only about a quarter of the eggs that are fertilized, you know, they call those embryos, will make a baby. And that's about what it is for IVF in young women, say, under 35 years old. In women over 40, it's like 1 in 20 fertilized eggs will make a child. And so it requires freezing just to do that testing. And you should know also that that testing can be done when a couple carries genetic diseases that can be deadly to the baby.
And you know, some of this testing has to be done to lower the risk for miscarriage. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So chromosomally abnormal embryos often don't implant, but those that do are most often lost to miscarriage.
Because IVF is in the headlines now, a lot of people are trying to understand this procedure. I wonder, Dr. Young, for those who don't have any experience with this in their families, what kind of information do you think might be helpful?
Well, I'm sure Belle can speak a lot more eloquently about the stresses, but I can give you the sort of a background. So it takes about 8 to 12 days of hormonal injections, and these are multiple injections a day, to cause the ovary to mature, you know, more than the 1 egg or 2 eggs. And then when the time is right, under anesthesia, those eggs are removed using a needle, and those eggs are placed in an embryo lab. And then they are inseminated with the partner's sperm or some cases donor sperm. And then they're grown in the lab for about somewhere between 3 and 7 days. And once those are at that stage, they can be frozen, they can be transferred back to the uterus, and we can also test them at that phase. And those that if they're undergoing testing, then we will freeze them all. If they are not undergoing testing, then we might transfer one, or we might freeze them all for other reasons of safety. You know, women that are about to undergo cancer treatment that might eliminate their chances of conceiving afterward may freeze embryos and to ensure, you know, their ability to have a family. And then, of course, you know, sometimes soldiers or other people get injured and they can no longer conceive naturally. And again, they may freeze embryos if they are not, you know, at that point able to have children.
I wonder, Bell, what are you concerned about, especially in light of this ruling that we've been referencing? What worries you about the future of IVF?
Well, as Dr. Young was explaining, there are so many steps. You know, these steps are very expensive. It was, IVF remains unaffordable for many people who would like to have it as an option for building their families, for overcoming infertility. But I think additionally, the idea that someone post-Dobbs who doesn't know, I am imagining, does not know, and reading the opinion, it feels, does not know very much about the science and the heartbreak of infertility too, that these people are making decisions and coming between a patient and their doctor. I never considered those embryos in their vials. I never considered them a child. I've spoken to so many women and couples and individuals experiencing IVF treatment, and I've never spoken to someone who used the phrase extrauterine child or cryogenic nursery, because to do this, you know something about the process, and you hopefully know something about the science.
You've mentioned a few times the cost of IVF, and it can be up to $30,000 for one cycle. So, Dr. Young, I wonder what you're worried about, especially as a physician who specializes in infertility. Are you concerned about a ruling that eventually could affect you?
Hugely. You know, already a few clinics in Alabama have shut down doing IVF procedures. This is affecting all those patients who spent their time and emotional investment and money in trying to conceive a family. It's just devastating for them. And they shut down because fear of legal prosecution just for helping people have babies with IVF. I mean, there are now about 2% of deliveries in the United States are from IVF. That's 80,000 babies a year. And that's only going to increase. And if clinics are shutting down, we already don't have enough services. One of the reasons that, you know, if you look geographically, there are parts of the country where people don't have easy access to a clinic, and it's going to get only worse if other states follow suit. One of the things that just is really impactful on this is that there are good reasons to think we could make IVF simpler, better, and lower cost. But the Dickey, Wicker, and Hyde amendments block federal funding for IVF research because of concerns over status of the embryo and abortion and such.
Dr. Stephen Young is an infertility specialist at Duke Fertility Center, and he was the doctor for Bell Boggs, former IVF patient in North Carolina, and author of The Art of Waiting on Fertility, Medicine, and Motherhood. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.